As I start this morning, I want to tell you we're all fixing to move. Did you know that? We're going to move. Now, some of you have moved not too long ago. And I hear people say, like my wife, the next time we move, we're going to the cemetery. We're not going to move anymore. And that's good to understand, and I certainly agree with that. But we're all going to move. And what I'm talking about, we'll get into this morning. What happens to the soul or spirit when it leaves the body at death? And this is how we're going to move, of course. And talking about not a physical move from one place to another on earth. But there's always a lot of questions about it. And you see people like Billy Graham and others who passed away. And all these commentators talk about where he's going to go as though they knew. Well, we can know, and what happens to the body, the soul, when it leaves the body at death. And that's something good to know. Where do we go? Do you really understand where you're going? Because you're going, and all of us are going, so we have to understand this. Do we remain conscious of our surroundings? A lot of people think so, and some, of course, believe in reincarnation. But Hebrews 9:27 said it's appointed to man once to die, and that's enough. We don't need to die again and again and again. So that's not right. But then, do we cease to exist? Jehovah's Witnesses teach that sinners cease to exist. And I guess it's somewhat... There are two of our brethren that have written books saying there's no such thing as eternal punishment. Brother Edward Fudge, who I understand died not too long ago, and Brother Haley, who died a few years ago, they both wrote books that there's no such thing as hell. And we have to understand we don't cease to exist. We're still us. Whatever it is, we're still us. Then do we sleep in some sort of suspended animation? And I think a lot of people sort of accept that. But we're going to find out exactly what's going to happen and where we're going this morning. Do we go directly to heaven? And so many people believe that. And you see all the time on internet something about my kinfolks who are in heaven and I miss them and I'm going to heaven. I don't believe anybody's gone to heaven yet. Don't believe anybody's gone to heaven yet. And we're going to see where we go when we look at this. So our conversation this morning is about Hades and the waiting place of the soul. I understand this to be where we're going. All of us have an appointment, and that's where we're going. We'll be in Hades, and we need to learn more about that. And so most of you would be aware the soul is awake, though the body sleeps. The soul doesn't cease to exist. It still continues, and awareness is there. We understand who we are, and we have an awareness of that. Then those who die in the Lord are blessed indeed. Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. They'll rest from their labors evermore. And so we have a blessed people then who are known by God and are going to be taken care of by God. In Ecclesiastes 9:5, there's sort of a difficult passage as explained by the next verse. But the Solomon said, "For the living know that they will die," and that's true. "But the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." And that sort of leaves some confusion until we get to the next verse, and that's good. "Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they'll have no more share in all that is done under the sun." And so we're not aware of what's going on after we leave the earth. Somebody sort of has the idea, well, we'll know. But we'll notice in Luke 16 a little bit later, the rich man knew who he was. He knew that he had brothers who had not come to Hades yet, but he didn't really know what was going on the earth. And so that's the way it is. We're shut off from those kinds of things, and all of those motions have vanished, for that matter, for us. But the soul is awake, and we need to be aware of it. I know today that my soul is awake. I'm aware. It's sort of hard to define self-consciousness. But with each of us, there should be some kind of a realization at some time where I am unique, I'm different from everybody else, and I'm aware that I am, and that I need to take that with me. So death is a sleep, then. It's called a sleep in the Bible, only for the physical body. The body goes to sleep, as it said. And Daniel 12 and verse 2 said, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Well, you know, there's always been a question about how much the Old Testament people knew about eternity. But with David and Job and Daniel and others, they had quite a good inventory of what happened when we died. And even David said something that we'll explain a little bit later. In Matthew 27, this was after the resurrection of Christ, the tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, and that's the way the Bible describes it, were raised, coming out of the tombs after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. And so there was a resurrection briefly at the time Jesus was raised, but they went back into Hades. They didn't go to heaven. And so they were simply a testimony to the fact that not only Jesus was raised, but others were raised at that time. And that gives us the hope of our resurrection and not continual death. So the soul is awake, though the body sleeps, and the souls of righteous people are comforted. And that's good to know. We don't want to be confused. We don't want to be in doubt. And the fact of the matter is, when you live a righteous life here, giving up things that are wrong and choosing and committing yourself to God, then you don't have to worry that. God's going to comfort you when you die. And Luke 16, of course, is a story that many know about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and was buried. It doesn't say that Lazarus was buried, but in verse 22 and verse 25, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." And this is when the rich man was trying to get Abraham to send somebody back to his brothers and warn them. And so, you know, you might be aware that not all of your family have died yet, but you don't really know what's going on. But the Lord is saying that if somebody even came back from the dead, if you don't believe, that wouldn't cause you to believe. And so we have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ while we're able to. Then a little bit further, when it talks about Hades, that word occurs 11 times in the New Testament. And it occurs sometimes by Jesus talking about that, as he said in Luke 16 and these other verses, Matthew 11, 23, Matthew 16, 18, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the kingdom, Luke 10 and Luke 16. So the Lord understood, if anybody would, he understood that Hades was a real place. And he was going there himself. Then it appears seven other times in the New Testament in Acts 2 with regard to Peter's remark about Jesus not being left in Hades, nor would his soul seek corruption. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:55, that wonderful chapter that talks about the resurrection. In Revelation 1, and Revelation 6, and Revelation 20, all of those speak of Hades. And we need to understand from those that it's a real place. The definition of that in Strong's commentary is it's the place or state of departed souls. And so you're going to move. You're leaving this world. I don't know when and I don't know where. And I hope it's comfortable when you do. My wife says there's something to be said for a quick heart attack. But, you know, we're going to experience it in different ways. But we're going to Hades, the place of departed souls. In Hebrew, the word is Sheol, or the grave. And you'll find the grave mentioned a number of times in the Old Testament. But the word in the New Testament is Hades and refers to a place or a condition of the departed souls. So when we look at this then, to the Jews, this was the place where disembodied spirits would go. And Genesis 37:35 said, "All his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, said, no, I shall go down to Sheol, or the grave, to my son, mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And you have, again, Sheol there with regard to the grave, and we know that that's where we're going. And then in Isaiah 26:19, which again reaffirms that the Old Testament people had concepts, he said, your dead shall live, their body shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. And so there was a consciousness in the Old Testament about the resurrection, about eternal life. And they had the same hope that we have, that hope of eternal life. So this is something we need to understand in the New Testament. So these two contrasting states in Hades, it's not all comfortable. There are two distinct conditions, and they exist within Hades, in that realm, if we'll call it the realm of Hades. Comfort or paradise in Luke 16, Lazarus, the poor man, went to Abraham's bosom and his side. In Luke 23:43, he said to them, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And this was Jesus on the cross, to the thief on the cross. As you know, on earth, Jesus had the right to forgive sins. And so when he saw the faith of that thief, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, he was going to be in Hades. Jesus knew that he was going to be in Hades, but he's going to be on the distinct side of Hades. Luke 16:22 again, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich also died and was buried. And so he went to Abraham's bosom or by his side. Abraham's bosom is called paradise. That's where you're moving to. Had you thought about it? Making preparation to go to paradise, because that's what the Bible says we're doing. And like I said in class this morning, we're going to have exciting things happen to us in the future to recognize these things. And to go just a little bit further, the other side is torment, or Tartarus is the word. In Hades, the rich man, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Now this was across the great divide. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. I'm not going there. Let's make up your mind. You're not going there. There are a number of things that are revealed to us here. First of all, Lazarus knew who he was. He had a consciousness. He was conscious of torment because he was not a child of God. He didn't live a righteous life. And there is a great gulf, told us in Luke 16, and you can't cross over. Now, the Catholic Church has this idea that you can somehow come out if you'll say enough prayers and pray the priest enough, and that you'll be in purgatory. There's no such thing in the Bible. Purgatory doesn't exist. This is it. And so the idea that you can pay your way and pray your way out of purgatory into paradise, just not in the Bible at all. We're going to know when we die where we're going. Now, we haven't been at the judgment yet, and we wait till the judgment to enter heaven, but we're still knowing where we're going because we're comforted. We're with Abraham. And those who are unrighteous, I wish we could get people to see this. All the wicked people are going to be there. You think about Adolf Hitler and Manson, who killed so many people, and Ted Bundy, who ate some of his victims. And those people are there because they haven't let Christ into their lives. I don't want to be with them here, much less with them over there for an eternity. That gives us impetus and a reason and a motive to try to live right. We need to be in the right place when this life is over. And so, all is not perfect in paradise, so far as that place is concerned. We'll be in paradise, but we're not going to have any clothes on. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5 says. While we are still in this tent, that is, while we're alive in this body, We groan, being burdened. We have our aches and pains. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And so when we cross over into Hades, we're longing for a body that is suited for heaven. And that's what we're waiting for, a body that is suited for heaven. Now our mind is conditioned, our heart is ready. But this old physical body has been left behind, and the spirit is unclothed. So we're yearning for a spiritual body. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5 is saying. Paradise is both a place of comfort and rest, a place of longing for the final perfecting time at the end when the final transformation will occur. And so that final transformation, when this life is over, when earth is finished, the final transformation will be that we are raised in a spiritual body and go to the judgment, hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of your Lord." Go to heaven. And so even though we're in Hades when we move, we're still not finished. We have to have that spiritual body. And the Corinthians had a problem with that. They didn't see by lack of faith how God could give them another body. And Paul explained that. He made terrestrial bodies, heavenly bodies. And if he could make us a physical body, why couldn't he make us a spiritual body? And that was the argument that Paul made. And so, yes, I believe that I've got a body waiting for me that God has prepared. Don't know what it's going to be like, but the Philippian letter says that we'll be like Jesus because we'll see him as he is. He's no longer a Jew on the street of Jerusalem. He's spiritual again. He's gone back to his former glory. And we're going to be like him, and we'll have that final transformation. We'll then receive a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. And so that's what's in store for us. And I thought about, you know, I've said a lot of things about Hades in different occasions. This comes up in sermons and Bible study. But I wanted to talk about Hades. That's where we're going. I'm going to move there one of these days. I don't know how long I'll be there, but I'll be there with Abraham and all those who are the saved who've gone before. So we've got some exciting things to think about and understand. And so when you look at 1 Corinthians 15 especially, we see some things that help us understand. But I want to go to 1 John 3 this morning because it sheds some lights on it as well, as John tells us about what's going to happen. So in 1 John 3 and in verse 1, John says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to see Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So do you want to go to heaven? Keep yourself pure, because that's what we're supposed to do and understand. So in and out of paradise in 3 days, that was Jesus. When Jesus died, his spirit went to Hades. Acts 2 verse 27. Psalms 110 that we read this morning. "You will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption." Jesus was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, and the Gospels affirm that. In Hades, he was not in torment. His torment was over. In Hades, he was in paradise. As I said to the thief again in Luke 23:43, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And he can say that to us. When we die, it's not gloom and doom. I know it's separation, and people we love hate to be separated, and we hate to be separated too, but we're going to a better place. And I found it comforting in Luke 16, when I hold funerals now, that I talk about the fact that we don't just jump off into darkness. We don't just wonder what's going to happen next and sit there and wait and don't know what's going on. The Bible says that angels came for Lazarus, and I believe angels will come for us and escort us over. The last verse of Hebrews 1 said, angels are ministering spirits sent forth by God to do service on behalf of those that inherit eternal life. So I believe that when you close your eyes and your life leaves your body, your spirit, your soul is met by angels and you're transported across to paradise. You're going to be awake, you're going to know where you are, and you're going to be comforted. And that's what we have to know and realize. Those things are true. Jesus went to paradise, but he didn't stay. In Acts 2:31 and 32, speaking of David, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God raised up, and which we're now witnesses. So Peter quoted David and then gave his own testimony that they saw Jesus rise from the dead. Jesus was alive. And so he's only there 3 days and three nights, in and out of Hades. And he said in Revelation 1:18, fear not, I am the first and the last and the only and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death in Hades. Now that's comforting, isn't it? He rules. He possesses life. He possesses eternal life. He has the keys to all of those things and will be benefited. When Jesus claims to have the keys of death in Hades, he's claiming power and control over these realms. We've said before that probably the devil was happy when Jesus died on the cross. This was his glorious day. He's conquered Jesus in death. But then his plans were spoiled because Jesus rose. And he said this, I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it up again. And you see that. Jesus did exactly that. And that's what he's going to do for us as we commit to him. Thus we can know with absolute confidence that our souls will not remain forever in Hades, will be called out to receive new bodies. That's going to happen to you. Next time you move, that's what's going to happen. And you can know it ahead of time. I'll have to, it's sort of personal, but you never know what happens when you're threatened with cancer. And I've had these 39 treatments. Monday I'll have my last one. But as the machine came out and beamed me, radiated me, I would say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I was thinking what Jesus said on the cross. And to have that kind of commitment is what we need. Whatever God wants, whatever God does is good. The end result will be that we'll be in Hades. But not only Hades, we'll be in paradise. We're going to be in the bosom of Abraham. So you can't pack your bags. You can't have to call a moving van. You can't take anything with you when you make your next move, and we're going to be going to paradise. Hades, the waiting place of the soul. Psalms 49:15, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And that's the kind of blessing that we need to understand and to accept.